Right now, it is time to bring in Thorin Christendotter. It is time for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. Main Street Magazine can be found at places throughout the tri-state region and also their companion website, mainstreetmag.com. And we welcome back Thorin. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good job. Good time off.
We did. It was great to get away for a couple of days.
It always is. It always is. I mean, you have to do more work before and after, but it's still it's still nice to get those days off in between.
Yeah.
All right. So now the new edition is out of Main Street Magazine, and I always like to talk about your cover picture. It's not your typical cover picture that you would have when you're moving from summer into fall, and yet it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is to me because you've got the green tree, and you've got the yellowish covered growth, and the blue sky. And to me, it did represent a transition period that we're going through. Once again, your covers are always amazing to me.
Thank you. Yeah, Libby and Laszlo do a fantastic job. Well, what was your initial reaction when you saw it?
The first time I actually saw it?
Yeah.
It was about a minute and a half ago.
No.
That's the first time I saw it. Like I said, and now what I do is I see it online, and then I pick up one of the magazines, mm-hmm. because you can look at it in line, but when you hold, especially your format and the style magazine that you put together, there's nothing like actually looking at it when it's in your hands.
That's true.
It is a totally different experience, and the pictures are totally different. I mean, yes, you can get a representation online, and yes, I know they do appraisals and bids and stuff online, but there's nothing like actually seeing something vivid right in front of you.
That's true.
With that being said, now that you're back, sir. License to Play.
The Re-Institute in Millerton. Do you know anything about it?
The Re-Institute, Henry's Place? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Henry's an interesting and great guy. And whenever he has a, I don't know if he still does this, but whenever he has a show open, he does all the cooking for it and stuff.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so Betsy talked to him and got a tour of his place and was just blown away by it. She starts the article off by talking about Henry himself and about his art and then going into his next exhibit. And we were only able to include two photos, so I hope the folks check him out and to see some of the other work. You know, but the first image is of Henry's work, and the second is of the upcoming show.
And also the different people that he brings in. I also saw some of Henry's work, I'm pretty sure, up in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
On display at the big place in North Adams, mm-hmm. That's up there. I think he had a display up there of his cardboard art, which was fun to see. But yeah, the Re-Institute is almost like a hidden treasure. It's not really hidden because it's pretty easy to get to, but it's not on a main road, is all I'm saying.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, we'll stay with art because I see the pictures of Wasaic, the old building, art, agriculture, industry, and arts.
And community. This is Christine's real estate article, and she focused on Wasaic. And personally, I have to say, I was a little bit surprised by some of the information that she included, but she dove right into it, it was actually a three-page story. Normally, she does two pages on the real estate, but she just said there was so much there, and it was quite an interesting tale that she found there.
Yeah, Wasaic is that whole 22 corridor, when you start, I'll start from Hillsdale right on down, okay? Hillsdale is a town that is totally misunderstood by a lot of people, what type of town it is now and how it's changed over the last 15 years. Of course, you come down the line to Millerton, and Millerton is just an amazing town. You go down the line to that area and that the article's about, and if you didn't know it, you would not understand what a rich and beautifully put together area that is, with a combination of arts and other things. It really is amazing, and the story brings all that to light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christine did a wonderful art research and talked to lots of folks down there, and I hope that people feel she shared the diversity of the area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That 22 corridor is only going to get better and better and better as time goes by. And it's helpful to have the train there as well. I think when, even though it stops at 10 Mile, right, it's close enough to Aminu where it's just, it's very easy to live in that area. And if you want to get to the city, and if you're in the city and want to get back up here, also very easy. So that whole area is an amazing area. All right, let's go to your Florentine article here.
Yep, Libby made Florentines, and actually she made them last month, obviously. And it's quite funny because we posted over the weekend she put together a little quick video of her putting together. She happened to make these on one of the hottest days of the summer. And so it kind of makes it even more comical. But she brought some samples down for Ashley and me. And I'm not huge on, you know, nuts in my desserts, but these were fantastic. And so I highly encourage folks to try these out. Libby said that they're really easy to make. And you can check out her little video, which gives you, you know, quick minute step-by-step on it on our social media. But these are absolutely fantastic.
You know what I like about them? I haven't had one in years, but when I was younger, you can bite into it and it almost like melts in your mouth.
It really does.
Almost instantly. It's like unbelievable. And yet it's, see, I like things that are brittle. I like my chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. I like them, they're brittle. I'm not a big soft, but this is something that's totally different. You bite into it and you get a piece and it's almost like it vanishes. They really are amazing. And you can eat a ton of them without even realizing you've consumed so many calories because they're that good. Well, we just finished a weekend, mm-hmm. and a weekend where the Goshen Fair on its opening day drew 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. Lime Rock Park, I heard from reports yesterday, their Sunday show drew probably between 10 and 15,000 people. And the week, the show before that, which actually started on Friday and Saturday, also had huge crowds. And you've got the story on the 40th Historic Festival, the roar of the engines to the light of the crowd. This festival is really becoming a major event, not only in our area, but for the country, auto enthusiasts, and people around the world that actually come to this area now to attend this event.
Yeah, CB pitched it to me that, you know, because we would come out right before Labor Day, that, you know, we could include it because we obviously are time sensitive, but I was happy to have it because it's such a big event, and this weekend's event was dedicated to the Corvette. And so CB here tells us a little bit about the festival itself. As you said, we're celebrating 40 years, and then specifically about some of the events that were happening both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then yesterday, but I think they got rained out, correct?
No. Yesterday, my brother was there. There was a ton of people there yesterday.
Huh? Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a race day, okay? So it's not, and it is the last day of the Labor Day weekend. So it's not like the huge, decent sized crowd there. And they raced and they did their thing. So, when you look at the area and you look at tax bases and things like that, Lime Rock is just such an important part of it all. Because when people come to Lime Rock, they don't just stay for a day. They're here for the weekend. And that affects restaurants, hotels, motels, all throughout the area every weekend that they have a weekend-long event. It really is an amazing draw to this area and the effect of millions of dollars to the economy, which is amazing.
It certainly is. I'm glad they didn't get rained out. I was just basing it on the rain that I had in my house.
Yeah, they had their whole weekend, which is kind of cool. And now, speaking about events, we'll wrap it up talking about the Pine Plains Community Day returning.
Yes, so I spoke with some of the organizers of the event, and they told me all about the history of it. This will actually take place September 10th, this gives you a quick glimpse of what the Community Day used to be, and then obviously with COVID, you know, there were no events, and so now this group has been trying to bring this back, and it looks to be pretty incredible what they've been able to put together, and they're hoping to, they're referring to this as the warm-up for the next year, which is the big, big celebration in Pine Plains. But on September 10th, they have, it's a kind of centered around the town center by the one stoplight there, and spirals out from there. But the whole event is free. They have activities basically going from the free breakfast at the firehouse in the morning to free lunch to entertainment to music to all kinds of kids' activity, historic tours, politicians reading to children, you know, stories, and so much more. So it's just an incredible thing that they've put together, that the whole community has come together to celebrate and volunteer their time, efforts, and resources.
And one thing about the Pine Plains Community Day, there's a big, almost all portion of it is free.
The whole thing is free.
Yeah, I mean, you can just bring your family.
Exactly. And when I spoke with the organizers, and specifically with Patrick, he was saying that that was their main focus for this, because they know that a lot of families, you know, have major expenses this time of year with kids going back to school and back to school shopping. Everyone goes to the Dutchess County Fair, which is not, you know, inexpensive. And then, as he said, you know, in Pine Plains, a lot of people participate in Ag Day. So there's a lot of fundraising going on for that and just, you know, life in general. So they wanted to make sure that this was something that all families and individuals or groups or whomever can come out and participate in, and it's free. And that even includes, like I mentioned, breakfast and lunch, you know, that there were donors and people who helped fundraise, and volunteers, and the restaurants in town, you know, where other, you know, food was paid for by, you know, donors or sponsors, or just, you know, donated completely. And so it's just wonderful how that community has come together for this event.
All right. Main Street Magazine, the September issue is out. Now, we have a lot of trees down on the Connecticut side of the border today. Is there any reports on the New York side of the border?
Not that I've heard, but I get most of my news from you, so.
Well, be careful when you're driving in Connecticut, is what I can say, because there's lots of trees down all over the place. All right, The Thorn, welcome back, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds terrific. Have a good one.
Take care. Thorin Christendaughter, Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmag.com on the web, and free pickup throughout the tri-state region.